Welcome to My Property World, a light and informative look at all things property. We have designed this series for people involved in property and property finance in the UK market. However, we do take examples from all around the property world. Our aim is for us to make money from property together. Whether that be buying, selling, financing, trading, or getting involved in a deal in another way. We do this by informing, entertaining, and enjoying ourselves talking property, which gives you a chance to get to know us, what we're up to, and to check us out until you're ready to make money together. In the meantime, My Property World is free and fun, so plug in your headphones and enjoy. We would love for you to like, share, and comment, so please do on social media. And if you have questions, ideas for topics, or deals you would like to explore, we're always looking for guests, so get in touch via the My Property World profile.
Hello, I'm Will Mellard, and welcome to another episode of My Property World podcast. And we've got Paul Tinker on. And Paul Tinker is one of the UK's leading construction management trainers. He comes from a 20 plus year career as a bricklayer, working within the armed services, specifically on construction related matters. And he's been a construction management professional for some of the UK's largest building and infrastructure firms, including social housing, which I've got a great interest in. And he also has a construction training academy. And you can, Paul, you're very welcome. Before we get started, what's the website, please?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Will. My website is www.constructiontrainingacademy.com. And over there, you can find out how you can work with us, or you can drop us an email, drop us a message through that website.
Okay. Paul's got a range of, I suppose, products that revolve around the idea that you can make more money by running your refurbishment projects a bit better and planning them out and the process for that. He's got a great book, which is a fiver. He's got an online training session, which is an hour, doesn't cost you anything. And you've got some in-person events with options of mentoring, but people can find out about all of that stuff. I've read the book, Paul. I've been a big fan of yours on social media. And if I had to sum up one word, and we're going to talk about this today, what you're about, get the specification done. Do the work to get that bit in place. So that might be unfairly sort of painting you into a corner. But what is a specification and why is it important?
Great question, mate. Specification is what you want. It has to be aligned with your exit strategy and it has to be aligned with your budget. People shy away from this because it's a lot of work, and it is a lot of work. But once it's done, it's done. And then your project will be delivered effectively. And then once it's delivered effectively, you're going to make more profit from doing this work. This work is so important. Without a specification, your quotes don't mean anything. Without a specification, your prices are based on absolutely nothing. It's a little bit like walking into an estate agent and asking for a price for a house, or into a car garage and saying, can I have a price for a car? Now, back in the days of public speaking before the first lockdown, I actually did an hour's presentation on specification and tried to sort of bring it to life in a real world analogy. And it just so happened that I'd been to Starbucks that morning and asked them for a coffee. Now, I take my coffee black. But unless I specify that, the girl behind the Starbucks counter doesn't know that. So I gone up to the counter and asked her for a coffee. Can I get a coffee, please? In my head, I've ordered a black coffee because that's how I have it. And this is what investors do. They ask for a refurb. They've got an idea in their head of what that refurb looks like. Now, for me, I asked for this coffee and it came with milk in it and I kicked off. I didn't ask for milk. Why have you put milk in it? Oh, you asked for a coffee. My interpretation of coffee is that it has milk in. She may have even put sugar in it. She's done it based on what she... But
just so I don't make the same mistake, do you have sugar with your black coffee?
I don't, mate, no. Just black coffee. That's it. You can apply this principle to absolutely anything. But it just seems to be that in the construction industry, that is really unfair, actually. I'm not going to say that. In the construction industry, construction professionals, their projects are based around the specification. Now, property investors believe that they're in the property space, but they're not. They're in the construction industry. And when you join that construction industry, you have to behave like a construction professional, and you have to present yourself as a construction professional, because that is what you are. You're making money from a construction project. Therefore, you are a construction professional. That is the definition of it. Now, if you was to join a gym at 30 quid, 50 quid, you want to know what you get for that money. You want to know what classes you get, whether you get swimming, whether you can go any time of the day, whether you get nutrition bars on the way in, whether you get PTs, whether you get spin class, whether you get boot camp. Whatever it is, you want to know what you get for your money. When you buy a car, you want to know what brand it is, what color it is. Has it got CD player, alloy wheels, metallic paint? All of them things all form your specification. And yet we want to enter into a multi-thousand pound construction project, not a property project. It's a construction project. We want to enter into that without one. Can you just do me a refurb? And it's like, what? When I hear that, it absolutely drives me insane. Can you give me a price for a refurb? Here's the Rightmove link. It's like, well, what do you want me to do to it? Well, I just want it refurbed. And it's like, listen, mate, that's not enough information for me to be able to give you a price. Oh, well, I'll go to someone else that will then. Okay, fine. And then we'll go to someone else that will. Then the other person that will price it up, based on a guess, because that's all it is either setting them up for a fall or they don't know what they're doing, one or t'other. So they're going to come back with a price that meets your expectation. And if it meets your expectation, you push the button and it's a go. And then they start the work, and then the builder finds out that they can't do it for what they said they would, and the price starts going up. And that's what happens time after time after time. And yet I even know people that have made the same mistake and continue to make the same mistake and continue doing refurb projects without specifications. And it's absolute madness. Yes, it's work. Yes, it's a lot of work. Yes, it's hard work, but it pays you off in the long run. If your property strategy is cookie cutter, let's say that you do buy-to-let refurbs. That's all you do. Write your spec once, just repeat it. Repeat that spec. Keep using the same one. Why would you change it if it's just been successful? You wouldn't. People come unstuck when they want a template, when they want to download, when they want to borrow mine. I'll tell you a story about when someone borrowed mine. I don't give it out again because of this. So a guy was building an extension, and he asked me for my spec for the extension I just built so that he could use it as a point of reference. That's what he told me. I gave him my spec for my extension that I'd just done. He puts it into his business and instructs his builder. His builder builds the thing. He was providing the windows, and the windows came wrong size. And he rang me up, calling me all the fucks under the sun. You said that the specification was this, that, and the other, and that's cost me thousands in new windows. Do you know what he'd done? He just cut and pasted my spec into his and ordered windows my size and not the same as his size. Just lazy. That laziness has just cost this guy thousands and thousands of pounds. Because he was lazy, because he's used a download, because he's used a template, a cheat sheet, all this bullshit that people ask for on social media. Now, if you've got a diversified portfolio, you've got a diverse strategy where you use different outcomes, different outputs, then you need different specs for those things. You can't put a buy-to-let spec into a HMO. It doesn't work. You can't put a HMO spec into a high-end commercial flat conversion. It won't work. You can't do that. It doesn't fit what your exit is or your budget either. I had this conversation with Rob Hunter. I don't know if you know Rob Hunter. I had a conversation with him the other day.
Just so people who don't know Rob Hunter, I don't think I've ever met someone who's as into anything as Rob Hunter is into his HMO business.
Yeah.
He is obsessed with the detail. He's passionate about it. He really cares. Anything. He's a little bit like you and construction management.
Yeah, but what Rob does really, really well is he has a cookie cutter strategy. He fits the same blue light in every HMO that he does. He fits the same tiles. He uses the same contractor, but he can do that because he's done the work initially. He's established what his scope, what his specification is. His specification fits in every HMO that he does. And that's why it works. That's why it works for him, because he's done the work initially. Now, that's... If Rob then decides do you know what? I've had enough for HMO. I'm going to go and do, I'm going to do some flats, or I'm going to do a flat. His spec now no longer will work. His taste will be still be the same, but his spec won't be. His spec's going to be different. So he then needs to do the work again. But that's why he's so successful in what he does, because he's established a process, he's established a procedure, a set of systems, a business, a spec. He knows how long it takes. He's done his tendering. He's done his procurement. He's done the work. And because he's done that work, he's now able to implement that into his business with very little effort.
Yeah. And tell me, what does the specification look like?
How do you mean?
So is this one page? Is it 30 pages? Is it an Excel file? What is it?
Well, it's going to depend on the project. Now, the way that you want to start building your spec is we follow the process. Now, the process is viewing into program. So the data we gathered in the viewing goes into the program of works. So we can work out the duration. Every line item that we identified in the program of works then needs to be bought, I call it. So I'm just looking to the left now because I've got a program on the wall. So where I go down my program, each line, somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to do that line. So in order for them to do that line, they need to know what they're going to do and what they're going to do. So for that line, I'll just read one off here. I've got second fix electrics. I've just picked on that. So who do I need to do that second fix electrics? I need an electrician. What else do I need? I need to have all of the plug socket face, plug outlets, light switches, light fittings, spotlights, fire alarms, smoke alarms, outside lights, CCTV, TV aerial points, all of them things are going to form part of the spec. This, Sparky, is what I want you to do and where I want you to put it. Here's a drawing showing where the sockets are. Here's a drawing showing what sockets go where. Here's a drawing showing where all the lighting is and where it will be switched from. Here's a drawing showing where the outside lights are, as an example. Now, I'm going to do that for every line on that board. Now, this program on the wall here is 104 lines long. That's 104 pieces of specification information I need to produce. That's a big project for a single two down mid terrace by to let, you know, that might be 20, things I've got to write and describe. Make sense?
Yeah. And that's on, how is that shared with people?
The program?
Yeah.
Or the spot? So we have a shared drive in my system. So in our business systems and business operating procedures, we have a shared drive. So we have a project file. Within that project file, they can go and click on the program. They can click on the spec. They can click on anything that they want in there so they can see it online. They can do that, or we can print it and email it. It's done. It's always done in PDF, so it can't be changed. And then sent out to whoever it is that's doing it. We always have one printed out and on site as well. So for a point of reference for the guy managing the project. And also, interestingly, something this is often overlooked. Sometimes other trades need to see other trades' specification. For example, carpenter needs to see the Sparky spec when he's fitting the kitchen. He needs to know where the sockets are. Make sure he don't put the sink in the wrong place or put the fan in the wrong place. Sometimes he needs to know when to drill the hole at the first fix, the Sparky, so he needs to know where the kitchen fan, kitchen oven is going to be, as another example. The Sparky will also want to know what the plaster finish is, so he knows how deep to sink his spec boxes on his first fix. So sometimes it's not just about sending Sparky spec to Sparky. Sparky will need to know what the kitchen design is.
How it interacts with the other trades or...
Yeah. Yeah. So all of that information is all in the site file as well. And also, obviously, the site manager needs to know what's being delivered by everybody. So he needs to be executing that spec as well. And that's where the boots on the ground training comes in order to make more profit from them refurb projects.
And that's a program that you've put together specifically around running projects more profitably. Yes. Good discipline to process, or having a process firstly, and the core components of that, you've mentioned program specification and budget, and communication of all of the above, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
What's the best example you could provide of a project going well due to having the work done on the specification at the front end?
Every project I've done in the last 18 months, definitely. But one particular example I'll share with you is was a mistake a contractor made that we used the specification in order to recover something. So we was on a project where the full rip out was done. And the specification had been written really clearly what was to be ripped out. It's not enough to just say rip it out. If I had just said rip it out, then I'm going to be in trouble in this particular example. So we detailed exactly what needed to come out and exactly what needed to stay. This project was a full house refurbishment. However, the heating system was to stay in. That wasn't being ripped out. And in any case, that wouldn't be the rip out team that took that out. In any case, but the rip out team went in and they pulled everything out, including the central heating system. So the central heating system was taken out and they invoiced us accordingly. Plumber went in to do his first fix and he's like, the central heating system's been taken out. I need to replace it. It's going to cost 2,700 quid to put this back in. So we was like, that rip out team, mate, you've just took out 2.5 grand's worth of stuff that we didn't ask you to take out. What do you intend to do about that? And of course they came back and said, well, you told us to take it out. We produce a specification, which is in writing, on the shared drive and on email direct to them. We never asked you to take that out. And in fact, we told you to leave it in specifically. What do you intend to do now? What do you suggest is a resolution here? Okay, well, we'll pay the plumber to put it back. And that's what happened. Without a specification, that would have cost me 2,700 quid. I would have had nowhere to go. If he'd have just said, you told me to take it out and I've got nothing to back that up, I'm going to be like, no, I didn't. Yeah, you did. No, I didn't. Yeah, you did. No, I didn't. And we wouldn't have got nowhere. As soon as we've got a spec, we've got a point of reference. As soon as we've got a point of reference, the argument is gone. Because we can just go, it's there. It's in writing. It's there. That's what we agreed. Why is that not been done?
And from the rip-out contractor's point of view, where do you think it went wrong, or did you find out?
I didn't find out, no. They coughed it and they no longer work for us. They saw their arse about this because their invoice was only 2.5K for the rip-out. So it actually cost them money to rip it out. So they don't work for us anymore as a contractor. Where do I think it went wrong? Honestly, my firm belief, and I can't prove this, so I shouldn't really say it, but my firm belief is they saw an opportunity to take out the copper because there was a lot of it for the weighing. That's my firm belief. I can't think of any other reason why someone would do extra work for less money, because that's what that is.
Right, right. And in terms of one of the things that you, you're known within, I suppose, the wider property training circles as a construction professional, and specifically around disciplined process. Do you ever go off the game plan, off the hymn sheet?
Honestly? Yeah. Yes, of course I do. Yeah, of course I do. And when I do, every time I do, it bites me. I'll give you a couple of examples. I'm a big believer in how you do something is how you do everything. Now, if I veer away from a process, no matter how minor, everybody sees that. My whole team sees that. The contractors see that. And what does that then make me? That's what I have to ask myself when this happens. I'll give you an example. We used to have a credit card, business credit card, that was used to be kept in the office. And one of the guys kept a business credit card in his wallet for going to merchants and things like that. We have a payment process, a payment procedure on what should be used to buy what in our business. Now, the majority of places is done on account. So we have accounts, we hold accounts with just about everybody around. It's one particular project. So we have the business credit card when it comes to be somewhere that we can't have an account, such as Screwfix or somewhere like that. It's one particular instance. The site manager was out on site and he rang me up and said, I'm going to run out of fuel. Can you bring me the fuel card, which is kept in the office? And I was lazy. And I said to him, I'm not doing that, mate. Stick it on the credit card. That was so, sounds like a nothingness, and it sounds like something that was necessary at the time, but it wasn't, because what I did there was undermined everything I'm trying to do. Just by that one little thing, just by that one little bit of laziness, that one bit of, we'll just fuck the procedure this time.
We'll do the easy thing rather than the right thing.
Yes, yeah. What I should have done is got the card, the fuel card, to him. I should have done that, but I didn't. But yes, of course, that stuff does come up. Of course, I'm not going to stand here and say that, you know, I do everything by the book to the letter. I don't. Compliance is another one for me. Me and my wife have some real sport about this now. My wife is my compliance officer for my business. I am the type of personality that likes to, what shall I say? How can I word this without saying...
Rick, the head of the compliance officer?
Yeah, I do. And I do that. I do. Now, we have historically used a plastering contractor that are really cheap. And I'm talking like £3 a metre cheap. But their safety on site is non-existent. Like non-existent. They'll work off milk crates. They work in shorts and vests. Stereos on, smoking. They're rude to customers. The spit. They're just not my wife's cup of tea. But for me, because they spread for £3 a metre, I'm all over it. Now, if I can... No, I'm not going to say that. I've tried to get them in on projects without her knowledge. And she'll turn up and literally kick them off site. You are non-compliant with our process, with our procedure. We'll pay you for what you've done. We're going to have to call it a day. Now, they don't come and work for us anymore because this has happened too many times. And yeah, that's me looking for the £3 a meter, I'll be honest. But, you know, I'm fighting against my own procedure there. But that what that does is creates issues. It creates issues in the team where, like I said, how you do something is how you do everything. Now, I can say to my site manager, look, we need an extra joiner on this job. Now, if we were sticking to our system and our procedure and our process, he's going to be saying to me, Paul, I can get you this joiner, but you ain't got this. Now, had I not done that with the plasterers, he probably wouldn't say that. So, yeah, it's how you do something is how you do everything.
Okay. Paul Tinker, you're very welcome once again. Your website, for people who didn't have a pen earlier?
So my website is, you can get in touch with us direct through there, is www.constructiontrainingacademy.com. That's www.constructiontrainingacademy.com. Thanks very much.
Okay, Will. I'm Will Mellard. This is My Property World Podcast. Paul Tinker, thank you.
Welcome to My Property World, a light and informative look at all things property. We have designed this series for people involved in property and property finance in the UK market. However, we do take examples from all around the property world. Our aim is for us to make money from property together. Whether that be buying, selling, financing, trading, or getting involved in a deal in another way. We do this by informing, entertaining, and enjoying ourselves talking property, which gives you a chance to get to know us, what we're up to, and to check us out until you're ready to make money together. In the meantime, My Property World is free and fun, so plug in your headphones and enjoy. We would love for you to like, share, and comment, so please do on social media. And if you have questions, ideas for topics, or deals you would like to explore, we're always looking for guests, so get in touch via the My Property World profile.